Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. I always appreciate you having joining us along, having you along this week to talk through where we are in the rail space, where we are in the rail numbers. I want to take just one moment off the top here and remind everybody that this September, we are going to get back together in Indianapolis for our FTR Transportation Conference. We can't wait to see everybody back in person. September 13th to the 16th of 2022. We're going to have 4 days this year with all the different verticals represented, whether that's truck freight, whether that's truck and trailer equipment. We're also going to have rail freight, rail equipment as well later in the week on Thursday and Friday. Make time on your calendars now to join us, be with us, be there, and be part of the FTR Transportation Conference. Always a great time. It'll be back bigger and better than ever in person. You will not want to miss it this September. So let's jump into the agenda this week and see what we have to cover. Carload markets continue to be mixed. You have some upside, some downside. Your thoughts on the carload market are really a function of where you sit in the carload market at the moment. It is a question of how your particular sector, your particular business within that sector is performing. On the intermodal side, there's a little bit more reason for optimism. We've seen volumes hold at strong levels over the last several weeks. Now, in just a couple of weeks, if we get into June, those comparisons in intermodal get demonstrably easier. So you should be able to see year over year a positive numbers come out of intermodal once we get in the next month, once we get into June. And that is something that's going to be a very much top of mind. If that doesn't happen, that's going to be certainly one of those flashing yellow lights that we're going to have to pay attention to, almost like the service engine soon light in your car. If that goes on, you know that you have a problem. You've got to get that looked at, get that checked out, figure out why volumes aren't performing up to expectations. We'll know more about that here in the next couple of weeks. But let's jump in and let's see where we are this week. And there's not a lot of change. There's not a lot of movement at all over the last month. It's been a pretty flat line. But we're at the highest point we've been in 2022 on an absolute volume level. That's a good thing. Now, we're not back to last year. We are well above the five-year average. Glass half full, glass half empty. I'll let you choose how you want to look at it. I'm going to say glass half full here. I'm going to say that we're at the high point of 2022. We're above the five-year average. We're going to turn positive here if nothing drastically changes over the next several weeks. This is a good news story, provided it can sustain itself as we go through the balance of the year. We don't know that yet, but we certainly expect that it will have legs, that it will be able to sustain itself as we go through the second half of the year. So let's talk about the trailer market. Let's break it down a little bit. We look at the trailer market. You know, if you've listened to this podcast regularly over the last several months, the trailer market has been declining and declining and declining. And there have been some things written in the press, some discussions had in the press about whether this is the death of the trailer market. And I've told people on this podcast before, wake me up when we get down to 14,000 units a week. Wake me up when we get down to 12,000 units a week. Wake me up when we really see signs of a material decline that's not coming back. And what we've seen over the last month is that volumes have stabilized. We've stabilized right around 18,000 or so trailers a week. Now, that's not a good number. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it is. We're down 20% year over year. We're about that same margin off of our five-year average. It's a weak trailer result, but it's not dropping anymore. We have found the floor, as it were. We have found a level of stability. We've found a number that is sustainable, that is repeatable, and we're not declining anymore. That's a good sign for the trailer market. That suggests that it is not the beginning of the end of the death of trailers, that we simply are readjusting, resizing, rethinking about the market, rethinking about the industry. And if you remember way back before the pandemic, I know it's a long time ago for a lot of people. When you think about 2019, where were we in trailers in 2019? Well, we were right around 18 or 19,000 trailers a week. So really, we're just sort of reverting to where we were before the pandemic, before everything became disjointed, before you started to see all the e-commerce demand pick up, before you started to see people doing a lot more online ordering than they ever had before, people who didn't typically do online ordering jumping into that space. We're really just seeing a rebalancing, a return to normalcy in the trailer market. On the container side, as you would expect, this roughly parallels what we're seeing in overall intermodal. Containers are 90% of the market, but we're above our five-year average. We're making up for some of that trailer weakness. We're a little bit closer to last year than we would be if you just looked at the overall intermodal number, but we're not above last year's levels. We're just sort of holding our own, right around 350 or so thousand containers a week. That's a good number. It's not a great number. So that is something we're going to have to watch as we go forward. Do we see it tick up? Do we see momentum to the upside? We think there is. We think there's a normal peak season coming later this year. So with a normal peak season, you would expect that that blue line would go up. You would expect to see us get back to 360, 365 levels when it comes to containers. We'll have to see if that materializes, but that's the expectation right now. Could it even be higher than that? Yes, it could. The question is, if it goes that high, will we see a return to the same congestion that we saw in 2021? The return to that congestion doesn't help anybody. You have regulators, both the Federal Maritime Commission as well as the Surface Transportation Board, really leaning into service issues, leaning into congestion, leaning into demurrage. Certainly, as you go forward, these are going to be things that if we see volumes pick up, the railroads, the ports, the terminals are all going to have to work together to move the goods. There's not going to be an acceptable response that sees dwell times increase, that sees cycle times increase. You know, to quote Gene Kranz from Apollo 13, failure is just not an option for the rail and intermodal supply chain if volumes come back in the second half. They have to figure out a way to get it moved. Switching over to the carload markets, well, things here are a lot less bright. If you look through the carload graphs, you'll see that it's not really the same momentum, the same happiness, the same bullishness that you get in the intermodal numbers, that you get in that marketplace. And you can see the last 2 weeks in overall carload, we've declined. We've moved down from last year. We've moved away from our five-year average. It's not a good news story if you look at this number. We're down about 5% year over year. We got almost right to our five-year average a week ago, and now we've moved down, continue to move down away from it. This is something we're going to have to watch to see this number continues to trend lower. How far does it trend lower, and what does that all mean? How does that all shake out? Now, the good news, just to the extent that it is good news, the fact that you can pull some good news out of these numbers, economically sensitive freight is holding up better. It's still below last year. It's still below its five-year average. But there is not the delta there in economically sensitive freight that you see in the overall carload markets. Why is that a good thing? Well, economically sensitive freight are the carloads that are going to power carload growth into the future. Now, a quick refresher, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, that means no coal, no agriculture, and no petroleum. Now, coal, everybody knows, it's a secular decline story. It's having a good year this year, but it's not going to have a good 2023, a good 2024, and beyond. Agricultural commodities, they are the traditional cyclical commodity. They move on the price of grain. They don't move on other fundamentals. They move strictly on supply and demand. So that they move up and down with the harvest. There's a lot of seasonality to it. It doesn't respond to economic forces the way that metals would, or lumber would, or automotive would in normal times. And so we look at this number to try to get a sense of how are the economically sensitive parts of the carload market playing. What is that real economic growth? What does that look like for us? And that tells a better story. We're heartened if we look at just that chart in isolation. But you can't just look at anything in isolation. So let's look at those bulk markets. Let's look at coal. Let's start with coal at least. And you can see we've bounced back. We took a little bit of a decline right around the timing of the Easter holiday, early in the second quarter. We've bounced back from that, and we've held at those post-holiday levels for really the last 3 weeks. We've just sort of held right at this 70,000, 71,000 or so carload a week level. That's an okay level, particularly given everything that's going on when you think about the coal markets, when you think about the headwinds that they face. But they're below last year. We're below the five-year average. We're not going back to the five-year average. But certainly we could see a little bit of upward momentum from here, particularly given how strong the summer start has been heat-wise in a lot of coal-fired generating territory, particularly across the Midwest and Texas. And so we could see some upward momentum from this number as we go through the year. We'll just have to wait and see. But it is a one-year flash in the pan. Even though coal, natural gas prices, are predicted to remain high, it was up above $8 from MMBTU today when I looked at it. That is a number that supports coal, that makes coal economic across every region just about in the United States. And so that is a number that supports coal. Unfortunately, as you look longer term, as you get out to 2023, 2024, and beyond, there are a lot of plants that have already entered into environmental consent decrees, either the state DOTs, state environmental groups, or the Environmental Protection Agency at the federal level, that are going to see units come off in 2023, and then again in 2025, and then another wave beyond in 2027. And so there's going to be a lower amount of coal in the system that needs to get moved. There's going to be a lower demand for it as we go forward. And so that's why, as we look out beyond 2022, coal volumes are forecast to decline. And they are forecast to decline fairly significantly, because even if the remaining installed fleet runs at a higher utilization rate, runs at a higher capacity factor, it's not going to be enough to offset those pure plant losses as we go forward in time. Grain volumes, they've been weak. There's no way around it. They've been weak for the first quarter and a half of the year. We're down almost 20% same week, 2022 to 2021. Overall absolute volumes haven't really moved much in the last 2 weeks. They've been pretty flat, right around 30,000 or so carloads a week, below last year significantly, below the five-year average significantly, and that's because grain stocks just aren't there. And so until we get the harvest, you're not going to see a bump. Until we start to get the first crop off the fields in Canada and the upper Midwest, you're not going to see this number materially move. We certainly expect it to move as we go forward. When you think about Russia and Ukraine and everything going on over there, yes, it's an atrocity, but it has real consequences on food security across the globe. When you think about those two countries accounting for about a third of all global grain exports with rough numbers, that's going to have to be made up somewhere, and North America is one of those regions that's going to be called upon to stand in that breach and fill that void as we go through the balance of the year. And we would expect to see grain volumes respond once the harvest comes in. If the stocks were higher, it would be exciting. We would have already seen a response. We would have already seen some inflection in the numbers. Chemicals volume, in the latest week, they declined pretty significantly sequentially, back right to their five-year average number. They haven't sniffed their five-year average number in some time in the chemicals market. It is a market with growth. It is a market that we believe the fundamentals remain in place for, even with a higher natural gas prices, and it's something we expect to see move back above its five average pretty quickly as we go through the next several weeks. Petroleum products volumes, we've talked a lot about this in past weeks in the podcast. It's really just staying in the same 19,000 to 20,000 carload a week range that it's been in for some time, that we really haven't moved off of that meaningfully, really, since before the pandemic. We've stayed very close within that range, and we are right now right very close to basically at our five-year average number. We don't expect this number to move beyond this sort of nicely tight-bound 19 to 20,000 carload a week range. There's just not the momentum. There's not the arbitrage in place to be able to do that, to be able to justify that if you're a producer in the space. Stone, sand, and gravel, it's been pretty flat the last month. We saw a little bit of an early seasonal bump in volumes as the spring construction season got off to a little bit of an early start this year, seasonally, than you would expect by about a week or two. But then we have not continued to move from there. So in reality, stone, sand, and gravel is really just adhering to seasonal patterns, and has for a while, where you see the seasonal uptick, and then it just hold at that level really through Memorial Day. And so we expect to just hold at this level right just north of 25,000 carloads a week for the next several weeks without a whole lot of movement. Lumber and wood, we've been pretty flat the last 3 weeks. We took a step down, and then we've just held that level right around 6,500 or so carloads a week. Now, that's not a great number for lumber and wood. We're down below our five-year average. We're down below last year by about 10%, down about 5% below our five-year average. And this is one, as I've talked about before, we're going to have to keep our eye on. There's a lot of headwinds here. When you think about inflation, when you think about mortgage rates, when you think about housing demand and what that does for housing demand, that's going to be something we're going to have to keep an eye on as we go through the balance of the year. But it certainly is not surprising that it would be pressured to the downside as it has for the last several weeks without a whole lot of additional momentum. The pulp and paper markets showed a sharp rise a couple of weeks ago. It held that level, and in the last week, we gave basically all of that gain back. And so we're right back just north of 7,500 or so carloads a week. We're below last year. We're below the five-year average. Pulp and paper is one of those commodities that as we get out of it, as we get further and further away from the pandemic, that's going to be a question of, is there the brown paper demand out there to satisfy demand? Is the brown paper volumes out there going to stay at the levels that they ran at for the last couple of years as everybody bought things from home, as everybody had things delivered to their door? You know, those cardboard boxes, the brown paper that's in the box to keep the good in good shape when it gets to your door, all of that has to be produced and moved. As that lessens, as we go back to a more normal economy, we have to keep an eye on that and see what pulp and paper does as we go forward. The brown paper is already substituting for white paper, substituting for things like newsprint that we all know are in secular decline, have been for better part of a decade. When is the last time anybody went out and bought a newspaper of their own volition? Maybe you got the USA Today in a hotel room, but you didn't go out and buy that separately. You didn't make a trip to a newsstand. You know, so that is certainly one of the sectors that we're going to have to watch as we go forward to see if the switch to brown paper, okay, that's complete. What does brown paper demand do as we get through the next several weeks and months? Automotive volumes, we saw an uptick early in the quarter. That has pretty well waned. We got to about 22,500 or so carloads a week. We declined in the last week back right to our five-year average. This tells us that the semiconductor issues, the supply chain issues in automotive are not resolved. They are not figured out. And until they are, this number is going to struggle. Until they are, this number is not going to inflect meaningfully higher. When it does, when they get those issues figured out, we would expect to see this number dramatically inflect higher, maybe even test that 30,000 carload a week level. Maybe see just get to that level where everybody's running flat out to meet pent-up consumer demand and also to rebuild dealer inventories. Anybody who's been out and about recently, looked at a car dealership, even from the freeway, you will notice that there are not a lot of inventory out there. Inventories are pretty low. They're not where you would expect them to be, certainly. So what are some key takeaways then this week? Well, intermodal continues to be the star of the show from a growth perspective, continues to be the darling of the ball, if you will, in terms of growth, in terms of volumes. Hopefully it can maintain that status as we go through the second half of the year. Carload, decidedly less positive, decidedly not as attractive as intermodal from a growth perspective. We're certainly starting to see carload volumes move very close to their five-year average in most cases. And service issues, unfortunately, are not going to help attract additional volumes to the railroads. They show no signs of abating, no signs of giving up, and that is something that if the railroads do not solve it, the regulators will solve it for them. The Surface Transportation Board, the Federal Maritime Commission, have been very clear that they're leaning into these issues. Just last week, at an industry event, you had Patrick Fuchs on the Surface Transportation Board speak and basically describe service as the board's number one priority. They are very acutely aware and focused on getting this fixed. If carriers don't fix it, they will do it for them. I will remind everybody coming out this Friday, we will see the first sort of indications of what that looks like with the service performance plans that the carriers were required by the board to submit. They will be submitting those this Friday. We may see them Friday, we may see them next week, but we will get the first looks at how the carriers intend to fix the service problem. Certainly, if you were at the hearing last month, you know that it was a very interesting hearing, a very lively hearing from that perspective, and something that we're going to have to monitor going forward to see if the board does in fact choose to put its thumb on the scale. I think generally that would be a bad idea for the board to get involved. But that doesn't mean that it won't. The board doesn't ask my opinion before it does things. But certainly a direct service order in an arena like this, where you have network-wide issues, I think only then causes the issue to spread from that worse carrier to that less worse carrier and doesn't really appreciably help service across the network, across the board. And if you looked at the numbers that came out this week for employment, you know that they didn't really move a whole lot. You know that 300 people in the train engine side were basically hired by the six Class 1 railroads over the last month. That's okay. That's an increase. But it's not going to move the needle. And it hasn't moved the needle. So it'll be very interesting to see how that all gets dealt with, how that all washes out going forward. And with that, I want to thank you for joining us this week. Thank you for joining us every week. I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Feel free to reach at any time if you have questions about what you're hearing in the podcast, what you're seeing in the market, what you're seeing in the reports. We're always happy to talk about the industry, always happy to talk about where we see things and hear about what's going on in your business, in your line of the supply chain world. Feel free to reach at any time. That's why we get up in the morning to talk about these issues, to deal with these issues. And with that, I am Todd Tranowski, Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for listening and have a great week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.